We now move to the next chapter under the Sale of Goods Act, which speaks about the effects of the passing of property. Well, before I commence with further analysis, the term property, it means the general ownership as given by the seller unto the buyer. It doesn't mean goods, my friends, because this terminology is very, very important, because we have three concepts here. One is the term property. One is the terminology which is called possession of goods. And number three, the risk which goes along with property. The seller tries to tell the buyer, the ownership once given by me unto you, Mr. Buyer, will carry a lot of weightage, because under Section 26 of the Sale of Goods Act, risk prima facie passes with property. So, if property passes, risk or any loss or damage goes with the property. So, this is what the subject or the topic is all about, which we will now shortly proceed with. Property means the general property in the goods and not merely a special property. General property means a property or investment in the goods which may pass to the buyer without the delivery of the goods. Mere delivery of goods may not constitute ownership of goods. A may be having the goods but may not be having the ownership. Or he may be the owner, but the goods may not be in his possession. So that is the crucial terminology, because a mere possession of the goods without ownership or title doesn't have any significance under Sale of Goods Act. And this is where this chapter lays emphasis on the terminology property. And the seller tells the buyer, once the property or ownership is passed on by me unto you, Mr. Buyer, the loss, the risk also is yours. To just give you a insight on this analysis. Demby Hamilton versus Barden Endeavor Bynes. B had ordered from D 30 tins of grape juice. Demby, the seller, had crushed all the grapes of the season and put it into various cans. Thereafter, Mr. B said, sorry, sir, I don't require these tinned cans anymore because my existing stock has not been sold. Mr. Demby, the seller, said, I have crushed all the grapes of the season because you wanted it. Now, the grapes have become sour, they have become putrid, they have become obviously deteriorated. Now, what do I do? The seller told the buyer, look, it is you who had asked me for these tinned grape juice, and therefore, if I have undertaken to transfer the property in the canned juice unto you, it is you who will bear the risk of loss. So this is where the terminology property is of immense significance in effecting passing of property. This carries three stages in ascertained goods, unascertained goods, and sale on approval or return basis. Specific goods in a deliverable state, Section 20. When specific goods are to be put in a deliverable state, Section 21. Specific goods in a deliverable state, but the obviously the seller is required to do something. Goods sent on approval or sale or return basis. And when the property passes to the buyer, the seller may sue him for the price. I shall have this area explained into three specific categories. Specific goods or ascertained goods. Specific goods means identified goods. Ascertained, more identified after entering into the contract of sale. Now, this carries four important areas. ascertain goods. Rule 1 says, intention of the parties. How does one determine the intention between the seller and the buyer? It is the nature of the contract, the terms and conditions, as well as the surrounding circumstances. For example, A, the seller, undertakes a contract of sale of a BMW car unto B. He tells B, the car costs 50 lakhs, right? Until the payment of the last installment, the property will not be transferred to you. Now, what is the intention? The intention is the seller has told the buyer, until the payment of the last installment, the title papers in the BMW will not be given by him unto the buyer. So, this is rule 1 which talks on intention. When intention is not clear, the second rule says property will be passed immediately as soon as the contract or document of title is given by the seller unto the buyer. Goods to be put in a deliverable state. Section 21. What does this mean? The seller tells the buyer, once I put these goods into a deliverable state, Mr. Buyer, you are required to bear the risk in those goods when they become deliverable. For example, A deals in oil. He has a big cistern of oil having 10 liters. B wants 5 liters to be put in certain containers. Now, out of the 10 liters, when does property be conveyed unto the buyer? When the seller puts these goods into a deliverable state. Now, friends, what does deliverable state mean? A deliverable state means a state wherein the seller undertakes the packaging of the goods and makes it ready for execution. So, when these 5 casks are put into, obviously, the containers containing the oil and the property is transferred thereafter, the buyer is responsible. Supposing the seller's godown catches fire, who will bear the loss? As regards the 5 liters which are put into the cask, it is that of the buyer. The remaining 5 casks which are not put in a deliverable state, the seller is responsible. The next rule. Specific goods in a deliverable state, but the seller is required to do something. The buyer tells the seller, I require 10 kgs of rice. Now, presently, until you weigh, until you measure or ascertain the weight, I will not make the payment of price unless you weigh the article. Now, the time when the weight is sought to be ascertained, that will be the point of time when the property passes from the seller unto the buyer. So, this rule is called specific goods in a deliverable state. Goods sent on approval or sale or return basis. Many a times, the seller sends an article on sample basis to the buyer and says, I'll give you a period of time, say 1 week, 2 weeks. You will approve of the same. If you don't approve, please inform me about your approval or rejection. Now, what are these circumstances which take place under Section 63 and read with 24 of the Sale of Goods Act? There are 3 circumstances. 1, the buyer informs the seller, look, I'm rejecting the goods and therefore informing you. Number 2, the buyer tells the seller or doesn't inform him and does some act which is inconsistent with the terms of the contract. He pledges the article to a third party. He resells the article. Now, what does this mean? It's an implied acceptance. Number 3, he gives a duration of time. What was the duration of time? 2 weeks. Now, after 2 weeks, if the buyer does not give, it's presumed by the seller that the property has passed. So, this depends on the circumstances of each and every area as to when the property passes from the seller unto the buyer. When the property passes to the buyer, the seller obviously tells the buyer, here am I ready to sue you for the price in the event that you don't pay me. unascertain. What is unascertain? It means generic, general item, which is not identified, not ascertain. Friends, you would have understood in an earlier example, the buyer went to a Maruti showroom. There were 10 Desire cars on display or 10 CS cars on display. These are all generic items. The buyer tells the seller, I require one particular grey car, which is a 2015 model, and says, I want to keep it separately. Now, this one is called ascertain. The remaining 9 lying in the godown of the Maruti showroom are called unascertained goods. Now, when does the property pass in unascertained goods? Goods must be unascertained. That means, now the first rule under section 18 says, goods must be ascertained, which means goods must be specified to that particular description. And thereafter, goods must be unconditionally appropriated to the contract. Now, friends, there are two terminologies, ascertained and appropriation. Now, both are almost synonymous terms. Now we have gone to the area on the Maruti CS car lying in the showroom. The seller tells the buyer, now out of these 9, you wanted one. So what is my first task when goods are unascertained? I'll keep that one grey model separately for you. This is my first task. I then apportion. Now, what is the difference between ascertainment and apportionment? An ascertainment is done exclusively by the seller unilaterally. Apportionment. Appropriated. Appropriated, a distribution undertaken by the seller with the consent of the buyer. The buyer asks the consent of the seller. It is a mutual transaction between the seller and the buyer. The seller tells the buyer, how do you want me to send it? You want me to send it through a courier? You want me to send it by a carrier? Do you want me to be transported by either the railway or the airways or any other mode of transport? Please mention it to me. And this is called appropriation. And therefore, there are two things here. He tells the buyer, I will be putting a bill of lading or an RR, a railway receipt in your name. Fine. You will have to pay the price and accept, obviously, the bill of lading, and then I'll give you the goods. Wherein, I reserve the right of disposal. You will not accept, even if it is appropriated, unless you pay the price for the same. Only then will it be delivered to you. The second instance. He gives it to his own agent. The seller tells the agent, look, I'm having a bill of lading issued in the name of the buyer, but you will not deliver the goods to the buyer till he pays the price for the same. So this is an area wherein apportionment is a task undertaken mutually, both by the seller and the buyer. A task of ascertainment, which means identification, is done exclusively by the seller. So these are the two areas that we need to know, that ascertainment and apportionment are terminologies wherein one is a unilateral task, one is a bilateral task between two people, namely the seller and the buyer. Let us now proceed further. When property in the goods does not pass. In case of a contract for sale of goods in a deliverable state, where the seller is bound to weigh, measure, test, or do some other act or anything with reference to the goods for the purpose of ascertaining the price. There is a bark of wood weighing 5 tons. The buyer tells the seller, look, kindly weigh or measure. And once you have weighed or measured, only then will I pay the price for the same, is what this means. Where the seller reserves the right of disposal of the goods. You will just remember, I had just recalled and made a mention about the same, that a bill of lading or a railway receipt is issued by the seller who tells the buyer, you will have to accept the bill of lading and then see that you make the payment of price, failing which, the disposal of goods will not be undertaken by me. where the seller sends the bill of exchange for acceptance together with a bill of lading, and the property and the goods does not pass to the buyer unless he accepts the bill of exchange. So here the seller tells the buyer, if you don't accept the bill of exchange and you only take the goods without accepting my bill, sorry, there will be no delivery and there will be no passing of property, wherein I will reserve the right of disposal in my hands. So, buyer, please ensure that you honor the bill of exchange before you accept any kind of delivery of goods from me. Exceptions to the general rule, sale by non-owners. Normally, friends, you will understand that it is only an owner who can give a title unto a third party, namely the buyer. This goes by a Latin maxim, nemo dat quod non habet, which means no one can give a right unless he is a genuine owner. So, supposing I have an article which is stolen from a thief and this car is taken from a thief. If I have to sell it to a third party, what title will I give that third party? He's also a thief? Obviously. So here which says, no one can transfer what he does not. So here in Sale of Goods Act, I the seller needs to be a genuine owner in order to see that I give a title unto a third party, namely the buyer. However, the following are these eight circumstances wherein, in these eight circumstances, the seller need not be the actual owner, but these people are given a right to have an authentic, genuine right which is bona fide in the article. Let us move. Title by estoppel, section 27. A sale by a mercantile agent, sale by one of the several joint owners, sale of goods by a person in possession of goods under a voidable contract, sale by a seller after possession of goods, sale by the buyer in possession after sale, sale by an unpaid seller, sale in a market overt. Now what does this indicate? Title by estoppel. It is a rule of evidence in law which says, a person who by his conduct or behavior induces a third party to enter into a contract, he's stopped from denying that he's not the genuine seller. For example, I have a principal, the owner, an agent, and a third party, a customer. The agent tells the customer, I am the owner of the goods. P, the principal, is there in the presence of the agent and keeps quiet. He allows the agent to undertake the sale. Now, can Mr. P back out of the deal? No, he cannot, because he's stopped from denying that the agent has no authority. Because had he to prevent Mr. Agent, he should have done that before conducting the transaction. Now, Mr. C, the customer, thinks that A is the owner and undertakes the transaction of sale. So, Mr. P, by your conduct or behavior, you have allowed your agent to represent yourself, and therefore you are now estopped, wherein the third party gets a genuine title. Sale by a mercantile agent. Mercantile, commercial, business. Who is an agent? An agent is a broker. He's a middleman between the principal and the third party. The agent has got four authority. He can buy goods for the principal, he sells goods for the principal, he consigns or dispatches goods on behalf of the principal, and raises money on the security of goods. Such a mercantile agent is authorized. So, for example, Folks versus King. P has sold 50 gunny bags to Mr. Agent and told him, you will not sell this gunny bag below a sum of rupees 100. The agent sells it to a third party at 60 rupees. So what was the original price? 100. Mr. Agent has sold it at 60. Now the 40 rupees loss, Mr. Principal, you will be bound because agent, you have already entertained the contract with a third party who doesn't know as to what is the transaction between Mr. Principal and the agent where there is a privity of contract. So with the third party, he enjoys a clear title and he has already taken this gunny bag in good faith, and therefore the sale by the mercantile agent is perfectly valid. When there are three joint owners, A, B and C are three joint owners. A sells an article, or either B sells an article or C sells an article to a third party, T. Does T enjoy a clear title from one of these owners? Yes, the answer is perfectly valid because the liability is joint as well as several, wherein all the three carry the same liability. Sale of goods by a person under a voidable contract. A, by coercive measures, has taken a finger ring from B. He sells it to a third party, Mr. C. Now, A, can you file a suit with C? No, you cannot. Because this is a contract wherein this is an article which you have taken by fraudulent means, wherein a third party has the contract avoided, so that if it is not terminated, here is a title which is enjoyed by a third party under a voidable contract. Similarly, any sale by a seller after the possession of the goods or sale by a buyer in possession after sale. The meaning here is, A person has taken on hire a piano set. He was to purchase it by installments. The piano is already under an agreement to sell by the seller unto the buyer. Before the payment of the last installment, say a sum of rupees 10,000. The buyer has resold the article to a third party. Now, Mr. Seller, can you file a case with a third party who has taken the piano in good faith? No, you cannot file a suit, because here is a sale by the buyer in possession after sale. Unpaid seller. We will be doing this shortly in the conclusion of the chapter after this, wherein who is an unpaid seller? A seller who has not recovered the price from the buyer, or an eventuality where a bill of exchange has not been accepted by the buyer, either wholly or partly, and he remains unpaid, is called an unpaid seller. Now, this unpaid seller, the person who has not obtained the price, he has got three rights. A right of lien, which means to confiscate. A right of stoppage in transit. He has allowed the goods to be transported, but unfortunately, buyer has not paid him. Can he stop the carrier and retrieve the goods back? Yes, he can. And finally, what he does, he tells the buyer, look, if I don't get my payment, I shall resell the goods to a third party. Now, the third party who takes the goods from the unpaid seller gets a clear title to the goods. This is what it means. And finally, any sale by a pledgee, any sale by a finder of goods, or sale in a market overt. What is overt? Overt means open. If I go to buy vegetables, if I go to buy any perishable articles, any sale in an open market, any buyer who doesn't know whether the seller is authentic or not authentic or is not genuine, the buyer enjoys a clear title, and therefore we say nemo dat quod non habet has got the following 8 exceptions to this rule. Well, friends, thank you very much. I think we have now understood the essence of this chapter, which talks about property, the ownership or title being conveyed by the seller unto the buyer, which is a general or complete interest in the property and not a special interest as in the case of a pledge. Because what is a pledge? A pledge is to give any article by way of a security wherein there is no sale undertaken, there is no ownership undertaken. However, in a contract of sale, when we deal with property, it is a complete ownership that is conveyed by the seller unto the buyer in 3 categories: ascertained, unascertained, and sale on approval or return basis. Thank you very much. I think you have understood the glimpse of this chapter. Thank you.